10. Nehemiah is considered a minor prophet, but he was a man who put feet to his faith. He listened to what the Lord told him to do, and he was determined to do it. And his task was to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a city of refugees. They had been in captivity and recently returned home. So in chapter 8, you're going to see a reading of the law to the people. So the people of Jerusalem are going to be instructed according to the law of Moses. Starting with verses 1 through 3. When the seventh month came, the people of Israel being settled in the towns, all the people gathered together into the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could hear with understanding. This was on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. The next reading is from verses 5 through 6. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. Then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And lastly, verses 8 through 10. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The New Testament reading is from the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. That can be found on page 174 of your pew Bibles. Last week we read from verses 1 through 11, and that was about spiritual gifts. And this time we'll be reading from 12 through 21, which is about the unity of the church. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. nor again the head to the feet. I have no need of you. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, God.
I can finish.
We'll go through 22 through 31. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this, but God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. Once again, the word of God for the people of God.
And now from Psalm 19. Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord
and my Redeemer. Amen. Okay. This is so important. You know, when we read the letter to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, virtually everybody knows 1 Corinthians chapter 13, right? Because that's the love. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us about how he is evident and manifest in each and every one of us. Now, not every quality is manifest in every one of us. That's why when we say again and again, I mean, how many times have you guys heard, you are gifted with unique talents and gifts, and no one else has them. And your gifts and talents are given to you for a particular reason. You may not know what they are. We may not know what they are yet. But I'm telling you, some people's beautiful smiles, now that's going to make other people smile. Now that's a wonderful gift. Another smile. Who knows how you're going to affect someone else? God does know. And he has a plan and he has a purpose for you. And that we should not lord it over one over the other because, oh, I'm more important because I make more money, or I'm taller, or I'm more slender, or I'm heavier and I can play the guard or the tackle or the center in a football team. Alex. Or Elijah. You know, some people's bodies are better equipped for football. But maybe they don't want to play football. But that's not... Those are physical things. As last week we talked about spiritual gifts. And what did we say about those spiritual gifts? That each and every one of them come from the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God. And they're given to us for what? For the common good. So we share those. That's 1 through 11. Well, now we're looking at 12 through 31, and Paul again continues in that theme, and in this one, it's more unity out of diversity, because he first addresses the diversity. I mean, imagine this. He does this in a way in which everybody can understand. How many of you got hands? How many of you have eyes? How many of you have a brain? How many of you use that brain? How do all of you use that brain? More or less, sometimes. But again, we know the parts of the body. And we know that there's a unity in our body. If we didn't have the two ears, the two eyes, the nose, the hands, the feet, the tongue, I mean, we would be absent one of those senses that we treasure. Can you imagine someone not, you know, a Van Gogh not being able to paint? Can you imagine a Michael Jordan not being able to play basketball? Not happening. And who's a Patriots fan? Yeah, I was going there. Can you imagine a Tom Brady who can't throw a football? However much air pressure it has in it. Buttunk. But he starts this, for just as the body is one and has many members, and some translations are parts, the body is one unit and has many members or parts, all the parts of the body, though many, are one body. So it is with Christ. In the one Spirit, we are all baptized into the body. Okay, what body is he talking about? He's talking to a church in Corinth that he established. And one of the Christian themes is the body of believers are what? Noun, verb, person, place, or thing. The church is more than just a person, place, or a thing. It is activity. It is doing things. It is loving things. This is back from you guys' confirmation class. Hey, I pay attention. Elijah, I'll get to that point with you at some point. But when we look at the many pieces of the body, the gifts, the graces, we're all one. And we're all baptized by the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit, the same God, the same Lord. Indeed, the body does not consist of any one member, but of many. And then he goes through and lists them. I'm going to skip to that diversity. That whole piece in there is that diversity. I'm going to skip to 18. But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members and yet one body. Just as we have an organist, just as we have a pianist, just as we have tenors and altos and sopranos
and basses.
I was ready for a four-part harmony, amen, in that one, but anyway. I should tell you guys ahead of time what I'm going to plan here, if I had a plan. But first and foremost, just as last week we were talking about the spiritual gifts, why are they given? They're given by God. He activates them for the common good. We all share it. So here we're looking at all of these different parts, even though it's diverse. You've got a body, you've got hands, you've got feet. But what are they for? One body. And that one body is gifted and blessed by what? One Spirit. And that one Spirit brings us into closer proximity to whom? Man, where's Jesus? He's the one that's right there with the answer for that one. That brings us closer to God. That brings us closer to Jesus. All of the diversity. You know, where would the Patriots be if Tom Brady didn't have somebody like Gronk to throw the pass to? Or Edelman? Or any of the other people? Where would any of the teams be without all of those members on that team? They wouldn't play as well. They wouldn't be as successful. Where would you be in life if you didn't have that teacher that never let you slough through a class? Or that teacher that inspired you to learn more, strive more? Where would we be? That's the diversity. But here's the piece. All of this, verse 25, that there be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. Just as God activates each and every one of those spiritual gifts, so each one of us in the spiritual body that's called the church are gifted and talented with different qualities, and we're there so that we have a blend of diverse qualities and capabilities and gifts and talents and voices and skills so that we can be one body. In the unity, just as a country, a collection of states, a collection of people, collection of cultures, there's this blend of all of this. How wonderful it is. How many of you would have a different palate if you never tasted Mexican food? Or pizza? Okay, I know pizza is not really an Italian because it's more American than anything. But name me an Italian restaurant that doesn't serve pizza. But those are blends. That makes us, even the diversity, it makes it better in harmony. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members in it. We can have differences of opinion. We can come from different cultures. Yet we can come here, we can sit in the pews, and we can listen to the same Word of God from the same Bible. It could be a different translation. You can pick up a different translation. It doesn't have to be the NRSV. Somebody in here might like the King James Version. Name me one person who doesn't know the 23rd Psalm in the King James Version. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Most of us know that. But there's a blend and a diversity, and in that diversity, we're of one spirit, one body, one church, one Lord, one Holy Spirit, one God, one Creator. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, prophets, teachers, deeds of power, gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Is everybody in here an apostle? In the early church, not everybody was an apostle. Not everybody was a disciple. Not all were teachers, workers of miracles, gifts of tongues. The diversity and the unity of one Spirit. First, each and every one of us has to receive the Holy Spirit. For us to be a Christian, we have to receive the Holy Spirit. Because if Christ isn't in you, you're not a Christian. You may be someone who's walking on the way. You may not have opened up your heart to Him yet, but you receive the Holy Spirit. The Spirit distinguishes between a non-believer and a believer. The Spirit marks the beginning of Christian life. Jesus with John. His ministry starts after the baptism. The Spirit makes us a child of God. And if you want to ask me later, and I'll give you the four scriptures that speak specifically to those points. And I'm not a learned person of Latin, but for the longest time, for many, many years, E Pluribus Unum was our country's motto. And what is that? Out of many, one. Out of many, one. How true is that to Christianity? Out of many different cultures, many different colors, many different languages, we become one. One in this Spirit by that miracle of Christ. Whether it's Pentecost where you've got 5,000 people, over 5,000 people there, and they're all speaking in different tongues because they come from different areas of the world. And what's the miracle? That they're speaking in different tongues? No, but because they all hear it as if it was in their own language. That's a miracle. Many gifts. There's our diversity, but one purpose, one God, one church. The beauty of our diversity, the strength and the power and the glory of our unity. Our unity with each other and our unity with the Holy Spirit, God the Father, Jesus the Son, to make us one. And for what? For the common good. To the glory of God. Shalom. Peace.